Disclaimer: the following episode of SassyCast may contain material that you could find shocking, offensive, inappropriate, and rude. Please note that this is a comedy podcast that takes a politically incorrect approach at comedy, and that none of our comments on this show actually reflect our opinions and morals in real life. Thank you.
Sassholes.
Hello.
Welcome to SassyCast.
Yes.
We're putting out a new episode finally.
Yes. We had tech problems with our last episode.
The last couple of episodes, actually. It's been ridiculous. So
we're just doing this old-fashioned style.
So what we're going to do is we're going to try to do a new episode. So we're going to start this episode out by talking about an experience that we just had. Now, normally we've talked about, you know, midnight movies on this show, and of course, you know, there's cult film fanatics, and this is something we cannot wait for cult film fanatics for, even though
I have to talk about it.
Yeah, I know that the title has been unfortunately placed in the box after discovering that it sure enough does have a cult status, which we are kind of questioning.
What is wrong with you people?
But we actually, on purpose, went to a midnight screening of Super Mario Brothers, the movie. Now, I have not seen this film. This is the second time in my life I've ever seen this film. The first time I ever saw it was when it originally came out in the theaters back in 1993.
I have never seen this movie.
This was your first time ever witnessing this.
I've spent the past 20 years avoiding this movie, and my instincts were correct.
Yeah. So this was your first time experiencing Super Mario Brothers, the movie. For those who have never seen this movie, avoid it. Age has not been kind to this film.
Oh, it's a kitty.
And
oh, hi, kitty.
Hello.
Cat. Well, is a kitty crossing the street and where we're about to go?
Cat, you need to move. Cat, run. He's like, should I run? Should I go?
Okay, now the cat is safe for the next few minutes. Let's continue.
All right. So, film came out in 1993.
Yes.
Some facts about Super Mario Brothers. It stars Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo as Mario and Luigi. Totally miscast. Originally, Danny DeVito was going to be playing the role of Mario, but then he read the script and said, no thanks.
Hell no.
I forgot who was supposed to originally play Luigi, but I can tell you right now, they were not convincing at all.
No.
Whenever Bob Hoskins spoke, I heard Eddie from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And he was not convincing with a New York accent. And Luigi, I'm sorry, John Leguizamo, you're Mexican. You're not Latin. Italian.
You're Latin, and it showed.
So, the movie is notorious, first of all, for having two separate directors. And also, tons of rewrites throughout the entire process of filming this thing.
They got a new script every day.
Pretty much. And it got to the point where the cast didn't give a shit anymore.
Just wanted it done.
And it shows. It shows. It shows. So, Boo, please tell the listeners your thoughts on this monstrosity of nature.
Here are the pros.
Okay.
This just reestablished my long-standing man crush on Bob Hoskins. I had a major crush on him in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
And I have had one ever since. He is cute as hell in this movie. The jeans definitely work on him. They show his butt. He's cute. He's adorable. And the scene where they're walking through the desert and John Leguizamo has his shirt off to himself okay, the wrong character has his shirt off. My crush on him lasts through today. Thank God he has a full frontal nude scene in, was it Calendar Girls?
Miss Henderson's Presents.
Miss Henderson's Presents. Thank you very much. So, yeah, that's there. I thought the special effects actually held up rather well.
For 1993, we're going to take this morphing effect and run it into the ground.
The morphing thing worked, though. It didn't look like artificially done. It looked to me, the morphing thing was fine. The visuals for Yoshi, I thought, were pretty nice. I thought that Yoshi was actually, I mean, yeah, you could tell.
You could tell that's where the budget went.
You could tell it's a puppet. But they did pretty good on it. I mean, it you know, the eye movement and the breathing and the whole thing, they for the time period, it looked pretty damn good.
Now, what about the Goombas, though?
The Goombas were horrible. You could tell they spent the whole budget on Yoshi. There was none for the Goombas. Now, the girl who played Daisy, I thought, did a fairly good job with what she was given. And the parts without the Mario Brothers, I actually enjoyed a little more. It was a little more engaging for me to see her try and fight this guy, the bad guy, and find out who her dad was and the whole thing. Her backstory, much like the Princess Bride, the secondary backstory interested me more than the primary story.
Well, plus it was nice to see a Mario princess standing up for herself instead of a, "Help Mario, I'm trapped in the tower!"
Exactly. So that was, those are all the pros. Here are the cons.
Everything else.
The casting was so off. The plot holes. If her dad, I'm going to ruin the whole thing, I don't give a shit. At the end, her dad morphs back into her dad.
Okay, so in the movie, we learn that her father has been turned into basically primordial ooze. And
King
so,
Koopa has pressed. Okay, apparently, this guy, her Daisy's dad, was the king of the Mushroom Kingdom, and Koopa created a device to de-evolve people into their original form. So he de-evolved the king into his primordial ooze stage, and then King Koopa became the king of the King Mushroom Kingdom. And then all chaos broke out.
And he evolved himself into modern-day humanoid lizard creature.
Yes. And Daisy was rescued from her mom when she was a baby and kidnapped from the Mushroom Kingdom, brought up to our dimension to be raised as a human, and blah, 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 blah. So that's it. Well, the Daisy is an archaeologist who finds bone fragments of dinosaurs, which are actually Yoshis. And she goes underground, and she gets kidnapped, and then the movie starts.
Mm-hmm.
The cons, again, the plot holes. The dad eventually turns back into her dad and goes from primordial ooze to her dad without the use of the machine.
Yeah.
Which makes no fucking sense.
The poor Lance Hendrickson, I mean, making the cameo as the king, I was like, you poor guy, what bill did you owe?
And the girl who we think was the Pine, I don't think it's Pine Sol Lady, I know her from somewhere, she's not the Pine Sol Lady.
She was very familiar, she looked like the Pine Sol Lady.
We'll find out who she is when we get home. Her character was a bad guy who becomes a good guy, who becomes love interest for Bob Hoskins.
Yeah, at least with
he has a girlfriend named Penelope. No, I'm sorry. What's her name in this one?
I forgot what her name
Daniela.
Was. Daniela.
Daniela.
This is one of the moments where too many studio hands got involved with this thing and did not know the property they were working with, Disney.
Well, it's obvious that they did not get any input at all from Nintendo on these characters.
Because it's obvious that was supposed to be Penelope from Donkey Kong, and it was not.
And I thought the Penelope of Donkey Kong was from the Jersey Shore.
Yeah. And, what else was I saying? It was, with Koopa's cousins, I mean, not his cousins, but his nephews, at least they explained why they did what they did. You know, they explained it to Princess Daisy by saying, we've been actually on your side and we've been waiting for this day to help you, and blah, 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 blah.
But what happened to them?
Yeah. what happened to them. There's no resolve with them. There's no resolve. So we don't know what happened to them.
No.
And, yeah, it's just, there's tons of plot holes in this thing.
Oh my God. This was just, it's so bad.
Harry Potter's aunt got what she deserved, though.
But she was not even needed.
No.
There's no need for her. There really was no need for Yoshi. Yoshi didn't do shit.
They threw Yoshi in there because this was at the peak of Mario.
Plus, it did tie into the whole dinosaur thing since Yoshi is a dinosaur.
Yeah.
It tied in. But he should have had a bigger role in this.
Than just the pet. And here's Yoshi for the fans.
Yeah, Yoshi is a beloved Mario. I love Yoshi myself.
Yeah,
he's a beloved Mario character. So, yeah.
Well, like I said, this movie is a good example of a studio, a major Hollywood studio, in this case, Walt Disney. It was released through Hollywood Pictures, but still a division of Disney, getting their hands on a major, major, major franchise. Major property. In this case, Mario Brothers from Nintendo.
And by this time, there had already been like three or four Mario
games. Oh, yeah. This was at the peak. And Mario is still... Well, Mario's now coming down from that peak, slowly. Yeah,
this is right
but
after...
this was right when that peak hit.
Yeah, this is like right after Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah, it was like right after Mario Brothers 3, and I think this is right when the Super NES version, Super Mario World, came out.
Yeah.
And this was huge. You know, Mario Fever was huge. And so Disney teamed up with Nintendo to make a film version. And obviously... all of the producers and everyone else that was involved with this film...
slowly pushed Nintendo out.
And did not know what the hell Mario Brothers really was.
No.
And came up with their own interpretation of Mario Brothers.
Everybody, except for the Koopas, every other character in this movie that were good guys in the movie, like Bullet Bill and the Bombs...
The Bombs.
They're bad guys in the game, but they were helping in their...
They were good guys in the movie.
This. And even some of the Koopas became good guys.
Mm-hmm.
The mushrooms were helpers, where in the Mario Brothers game, there's two mushrooms. There's the green and red ones, which were not in the movie at all. And then there are the brown ones that are the bad guys.
Oh, and the flame-throwing flower was never shown whatsoever. Instead, they have flame-throwing guns.
Yeah.
And
I mean, they tweaked it.
The super jump was changed into rocket boots, which are never...
apparently everybody had.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's horrible.
This is terrible. And there was people who were cheering this movie going on. I'm like, really? Our audience was literally split in half.
Yeah.
Half the audience was cheering and laughing and moving into the movie... And
those were the diehard fans of this film. And
they're all younger than me.
Mm-hmm. And then there's other people in the audience who obviously was watching this movie for the first time.
In utter disbelief.
And cleared out of there as soon as the movie was over.
Yes.
Now, there is one moment in the movie that we need to discuss because it became an accidental, uncomfortable joke.
This movie needs to be edited.
It needs some serious editing because there is a sequence when the worlds briefly come together as
the
one.
The dimensions come as one and the Koopas come to our dimension.
The Twin Towers are transformed into the Twin Towers in the Mushroom Kingdom. And the Twin Towers in the Mushroom Kingdom... The World Trade Center. Looks like it's been blown up. This movie came out in 1993. Of course, they could not predict it. 9/11.
Right.
However, when the worlds merge, the World Trade Center, as we knew it, transformed into what looks like an airplane has crashed into the side of the World Trade Center.
They shoot their fire guns at them, and the fire blasts hit the Twin Towers in the exact same order, in the exact same location.
And the audience...
as where the airplanes hit.
Yeah, and the audience immediately went, happened. Huge boo.
Okay, if they're going to redo this thing on Blu-ray, change the building.
They will, or just delete that sequence.
Or just delete the scene.
Yeah.
Something's got to change.
One person in the audience shouted, "Too soon!
Too soon!
Too soon!"
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was very uncomfortable.
Yeah. Now, I'll have to say to Daisy, Princess Daisy... girl, wash your hair. You went on a date with Luigi and you don't wash your fucking hair?
Oh, she was a college student.
It was a date.
You know what this film is like?
The root canal?
Okay, you know how Turkish cinema will take in an American movie
and fuck it up?
And fuck it up?
That's what this is.
America took a video game and made their version of a Turkish movie.
Your analogy of this being the Xanadu for game geeks,
yes,
is perfect, because Xanadu had the exact same problem. Plot holes and a script change every day,
mm-hmm,
and different producers. Xanadu had the exact same problem.
Yeah,
they literally wrote the script as they were filming every day. Same thing with Mario.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this movie I discovered is basically the Xanadu for the gamer community.
Huge following bad movie.
People love the fact that it's cheesy.
And you know,
but I've noticed it is people under the age of 30 who are embracing this film.
This film killed Roxette's career. They didn't have a hit after 93.
No, they didn't.
They did the love theme for this movie. Yes, it has a love fucking love theme.
Well, it not
they
only
did the love theme, and it killed their career.
It killed their career, and it also killed Bob Hoskins' career
his
in America.
US career, yes.
Yeah.
Leguizamo went back on stage and then comedy stage.
John Leguizamo went underground and he went back on stage.
And thank God Dennis Hopper had speed the next year because he needed speed.
Yeah, it's an all around bad film.
And the bitch
who
played Daisy never saw that bitch again.
It's an all around bad film. It really is.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's to me, it was unenjoyable for me. And it reminded me why I haven't seen the film since 1993. The main reason why I went out tonight to go see this film was because I was curious to see what and if a crowd would show up.
And this is the odd thing. It showed last night at the theater. They had in the big theater, the big downstairs theater.
Yeah, they had two showings on a Friday night and a Saturday night. We went on the Saturday night showing.
Last night's theater in the big theater,
only like 10
people
showed up. So they went, oh, there's not
an audience
for this. So they
moved it upstairs to the smaller theater.
It sold out tonight.
They had to turn
so many people, including my friend Hunter. Yes. They had to turn away so many people from the film because it was sold out.
Yeah.
Wow. That's all I can say is wow. I mean, I can't believe that there is a genuine interest in this film because it's horrible. And people who know me know my taste in movies.
We like bad movies.
For me to say the movie is horrible,
to me, I like bad movies. The bad movies I like actually have a plot.
I mean, hell, I like From Justin to Kelly because
yeah,
I can laugh at it.
And I married you anyway.
I like Glitter because I can laugh at it. I can't laugh at Super Mario Brothers.
It's not funny. It's painful.
And there's people who are laughing and applauding at this thing, and I'm like,
really?
I don't get it. Is it because I'm too old?
No.
But the thing is I'm sitting here and I'm going, no, because I was a kid when, you know, Mario broke out. And maybe that's the thing, is that...
I was a kid...
I was the target audience for this film.
Yeah.
And I'm only guessing that that's maybe the thing, is that... Because I noticed that the people who were cheering for this film were very young. They looked like they were in their late teens or early 20s. And so I'm thinking, well, maybe there's something about this film that appeals to them that doesn't appeal to me.
Okay, here's the thing. When this film came out, I was 23.
Mm-hmm.
I was this film's target audience. I did not bother with the film. I saw the trailer. I thought it was stupid.
Oh, the trailer's manic.
And I
tell you, well, it matches the movie. The movie's manic.
I can tell you right now, if I had seen this at the age of 23, mm-hmm, I would have been pissed the fuck off.
Oh, I was infuriated with this movie when it came out. I was 19 when this movie came out, so I was the target audience. Also,
my feeling is the diehard fans of this film are not Mario fans, because this is not. Mario purists should be pissed off at this movie.
Yeah, I am. I am, and maybe that's the thing. I don't know. But the movie was just manic. Also, there's nonstop wacky, and not even fun wacky. It's just let's explode the living shit out of everything.
Yeah.
Michael Bay would sit there and go, "Okay, tone it down."
Tone it down.
It's just un-fucking believable. But
it's over, bro.
It's done. It's over. I never want to see it again for the rest of my life.
I've seen it once, and once is enough.
And I'm going to treat this movie like the Human Centipede. That's all I'm going to say about it.
And what does that mean?
Never going to watch it again.
Oh, no. No need to.
Yeah, no need to.
Only scene I want to watch again is a little bit in the beginning where Bob Hoskins is running around in those really tight white jeans. His plumber jeans, because he has a...
Oh, God, you could tell this movie came from the early 90s, too. It just has the early 90s vibe all over the
Bob
fuck
Hoskins
of it.
Has got a hell of an ass.
Yes, he does.
He's adorable. You know, he literally is this big, cute, cuddly teddy bear of a guy. I mean, he really is.
Unfortunately, they got lost in the quagmire that's Super Mario Brothers, the movie.
Oh, that's just the fungus. Yeah.
Trust the fungus.
Trust the fungus.
All right. We'll be right...
Listen to the mushrooms. Apparently someone did and wrote a script.
We'll be right back.
What's up? It's Shayna. Leave a message, Mom. Hey, Con, I'm calling you back. Ooh, I've got an itch tonight. And by itch, I mean this pain in my pussy everywhere. I keep on having to take off my wig and the heels and tend to my rashes and make yellow rain in the tub. And you know UTI should stand for unending tingles and convenience in my ass. So then I pull down my pants, smells like where a hobo sat. And I'm greeted not by one lice on my satch, but by at least 50. Five-o. Yes, honey, the STDs have shut down the pussy. And now with this leak, I don't even know when I have to pee. I'm afraid you got it, girl, cause they're gonna be all over. Drop your drawers, have some wine, fire up the electronic drug dealer and put down some plastic bags. Cause I know exactly what we need.
Let's have a pee-pee. I wanna take a pee-pee in my drawers tonight. Let's have a pee-pee.
Motherfucker.
I'm gonna fill my panties with my pee-pee. I wanna have a pee-pee drain, flush, wipe. Let's have a pee-pee. I'm gonna drain and squirt and burn.
Smells that funny.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, God. You know what, I have to pee. Can I take a break real quick? Like, I really gotta go. Like, my part's coming up. Oh, okay. I pee-pee in the potty or on the face of an old perv. Or if you piss me off, I just might do it in your dessert. I'm a Scorpio rising, so don't you fuck with me. So lift the lid and let's all bid adieu to my old pee. Let's have a pee-pee. I wanna take a pee-pee in my drawers tonight. Let's have a pee-pee.
Motherfucker.
I'm gonna fill my panties with my pee-pee. I wanna have a pee-pee drain, flush, wipe. Let's have a pee-pee. I'm gonna drain and squirt and burn.
Smells that fat funny.
Yeah! Oh, God. Oh, I'm peeing. Guys, it's happening. Yep, someone needs to clean this up.
Oh, what a wonderful pee-pee. This pee-pee is marvelous.
Oh, I like this part. Makes me want to dance. Be careful, though. Don't slip in my pee. Yeah.
Pee-pee, tingle, wee-wee, out my hole. Pee-pee, tingle, wee-wee, out my hole. Pee-pee, tingle, wee-wee, out my hole. Pee-pee, tingle, wee-wee, out my hole.
Work it. Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna fuck all of you up. Yeah. What? I know what I'm gonna do. Let's have a pee-pee. I wanna take a pee-pee in my drawers tonight. Let's have a pee-pee.
Motherfucker.
I'm gonna fill my panties with my pee-pee. I wanna have a pee-pee drain, flush, wipe. Let's have a pee-pee. I'm gonna drain and squirt and burn. Let's have a pee-pee. I wanna have a pee-pee in my drawers tonight. Let's have a pee-pee.
Motherfucker.
I'm gonna fill my panties with my pee-pee. I wanna have a pee-pee. What a queen. Let's have a pee-pee. I'm gonna drain and squirt and burn.
Smells that funny.
I have to shit now, too.
Mister, you and Growler are evil.
I'm tired of Growler.
Uh-huh. It was this before or after you sent me the message on Growler while I was at work about diarrhea, when the call comes in.
I've been bored with Growler for a while now. I don't do that because I was bored. I'm sorry, but you know, my profile clearly states no Asians.
Oh, and you're still getting Asians?
Oh, my God. There's this one guy. I had to report him. He says, woof. I'm like, no Asians, please. He says, woof. And he shows me a picture of his cock. I said, no Asians, please read my profile. He goes, why not? Asian, good to you.
$5, sucky, sucky.
I said, I'm not attracted to Asian men. Thank you very much. Asian, do you good. Hear my dick. And there's another one of his cock. And I'm like,
okay, hold on. Because I just got a great mental image.
No, it's not listened to.
Oh, I know, but I got this great mental image of you putting on a stethoscope.
And I said, I'm sorry, I do not find you attractive. I do not like Asian men. Please leave me alone or I will report you. You know, report. You suck dick.
Oh, my God.
And I went and I unblocked someone I spoke to earlier because I'm at my block maximum of 75 people.
Jesus.
I went one day with a sweep and blocked about 75 Asian guys as a sweep. So I'm not anything against Asian people per se. I don't find Asian men attractive. And all the ones that want to hit on me do not look like Noodles and Beef. And if you know who Noodles and Beef is, you know what I mean. If he were talking to me, I'd be like, okay, maybe. Although he is a quarter Filipino, maybe. Because he's like Barbie doll, Ken doll, perfect. However, no, that ain't what I'm getting. I'm getting back of the trunk in Las Vegas with little dick kind of Asian guys. From Hangover 2 or Hangover whatever. That's what's hitting on me. So I reported him and I blocked his ass. I'm tired of Growler. Ain't no one talking to me but people I know. And people who are friends of mine on Facebook who I go saying hi to. Don't talk to me on Growler. I'm like, but you friend me on Facebook, we chat on Facebook. Apparently this is for hooking up only. Okay, well, bye. Anyway.
In other news,
we lost someone today.
Oh, yes, Phyllis Diller.
We lost Phyllis Diller.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, it's sad, but at the same time, she lived one hell of a life.
95.
And the thing is that there is honestly never going to be another person like her. She is a pioneer.
You know, Joan Rivers is probably beside herself, mm-hmm. because she's why Joan got into comedy.
Yes. She's the reason why all women are in comedy, yeah. Because if it had not been for Phyllis Diller, pretty much every female stand-up comedian out there probably would not be here.
Yeah.
Because Phyllis Diller knocked the door down for them.
They're comedic actors and actresses like Lucille Ball and Betty White, but they're not stand-up. There's a difference.
Yeah.
Although they're definitely influential to female comedians,
mm-hmm.
but they're comedic actresses. They're not stand-up comedians.
Yeah, Phyllis Diller was the first female stand-up comedian, and she opened so many doors for so many women.
Yes.
And so, yeah, her passing is a sad one.
We're talking about her at work, too. And, you know, and I didn't say it. Mary said it. She says, you know what? She says, and yet Zsa Zsa Gabor is still alive. I said, yeah, she's still kicking. Oh, wait.
Zsa Zsa, let go.
And I said, you know what, Zsa Zsa? But, yeah, she's alive. You know what? She's not half the one she used to be.
Oh. Yeah. She needs to let go, though.
She's let go. Of course, all she has are hands now, so she can't let go.
Oh.
Anyway.
In other news. This will probably be confirmed by the time this episode comes out, but it looks like that we can say that final negotiations have happened. We are getting reports that she has signed the contract.
Yes.
Joining Mariah Carey and Randy Jackson on American Idol will be Nicki Minaj.
Yes.
That's a lot of ghetto.
Yeah.
That's a lot of ghetto.
I don't know if I can handle Nicki Minaj and Mariah Carey.
I am going to at least watch the auditions this time around. I know I said that I've given up on Idol, but this time around I'm at least going to watch the auditions. Because it's going to be a train wreck. Because here's what's going to happen. you're going to have some bitch get up there and try to impress Mariah Carey by singing one of her songs.
Badly.
Badly. It's going to piss Mariah Carey off.
Actually, I heard that Mariah Carey's a bleeding heart.
Oh, but you know it would piss her off to hear one of her songs get raped. And then Randy Jackson is going to turn to her and go, "Oh, Mariah, remember when we recorded this song together?" And then
I hope she turns to him and says, no.
And then they're going to cut to Nicki Minaj, and Nicki Minaj is going to look at her and go, "Well, I think you're very pretty, but your song style sucks!" Because you know that's how she is. So I it's going to be a total, total train wreck. And I'm going to be watching American Idol, at least, like I said, the audition rounds, for the wrong reason.
I predict this will be its last season.
It needs to be. Well, we said that last season, and look what happened.
But
yeah, it has not jumped the shark. It's jumped into the shark's mouth.
Oh, it jumped the shark and it's dead.
Well, it jumped the shark when the official jumped the shark is when Paula Abdul left. So, yeah, the show is...
This is now nuking the fridge.
Yes. And in other reality TV show news...
We have four?
Yes. The actress who played Blair on The Facts of Life, who went on and became a religious nut, is on this season's Survivor as one of the contestants. Oh my God! I mean,
you're gonna watch this too?
Oh yes, because I want to see her ass get kicked.
I have a new laundry night.
I'm like Lisa Welsh. Is it
who?
What? However you pronounce her last name.
Welsh.
Blair. I'm going to just call her Blair.
Blair. I saw a picture of her recently.
Is a contestant.
I saw her photo on Survivor.
Uh-huh. She ain't aging well.
You can't tell it's her.
I'm just like, oh my God. It's like, what is going on here? What, with Tootie busy?
Apparently, Tootie's busy too.
We have a Major League Baseball player who was an MVP also that's on there, and I forgot the name of the guy for the life of me now. I can hear Mike right now screaming his name because apparently he had a crush on him.
I stopped watching Survivor after season two because that's when I realized, oh wait, this shit's staged.
Yeah. Well, now we have an actual actor involved.
When the Ed Harris lookalike fell into the fire and burned his face off, I'm like, wait a minute, this team was ahead by four people. Larger than the other team. They're winning every challenge, and now suddenly their lead burns his face off in a fire.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, this is all this should be staged.
Oh yeah.
Like, no, that was season two though.
That was season two.
And I'm like, no, I can't deal with this. So I stopped watching it after that.
Well, I'm curious to watch this season because of the involvement of celebrities. I mean, we have genuine celebrities. And the thing is she's, well, her and the baseball player are two celebrities that, you know, when you go walking down the street, people will recognize these people. I'm like, hey, you know, people who follow baseball will recognize him. People who grew up with The Facts of Life will recognize her.
No, they won't. Remember, I saw her.
I know. I knew who she was when I saw the photo. She doesn't look the same as she did back in the fact.
She had some work done.
I mean, even...
I think... what would Jesus do?
I mean, even The Facts of Life... Even The Facts of Life reunion movie.
What would Jesus do? You know? What would Jesus do?
All I gotta say is she needs to keep her religious views on the mainland, because if she takes those with her onto Survivor, it's a very good chance for her to get kicked off.
I hope she's kicked off the first episode so we don't have to watch her
end. Oh my God, that would be funny actually. Awesome. if she becomes known as the first person kicked off of Survivor Philippines.
What would Jesus do, bitch? Vote you off the island.
Well, maybe she's there on a missionary mission because they are in the Philippines.
Mission who? The fish? They don't talk to people. They don't talk to locals. And no one else on the show is going to put up with her shit.
Well, she is in the Philippines.
Speaking of reality TV shows, this is all I'm going to say about the topic. I want to mention this one time. I don't want it brought up again.
Uh-oh.
I'm not a fan of waffles.
And we'll just leave it at that?
Yes.
We'll just leave it at that?
Yes.
And we won't proceed further on that topic.
Five. Anyway, let's move on.
We will not proceed on that topic.
Anyway.
Anywho.
Anyhow.
Yes.
So, Roxy.
Oh, I God.
Say, Roxy, come here. I'm sitting at the bar sipping on a velvet slipper martini.
A velvet slipper martini?
It's fabulous. Anyway, I'll tell you what's in it later.
Is that like a chocotini?
No. I said, Roxy,
come here. She says, what? What do you want, Velma? And I said, my name is Velma in the story about it. I said, darling, I saw your performance the other night on stage over at the Shea Lounge. I thought you were fantastic. Well, thank you, Velma. I thought I was good, too. I'm glad you caught the show. Yes, I would not miss it. I was so impressed by it, I went home and redid your performance with my puppets. She says, with puppets? I said, yes. Because they, like you, were just as wooden.
Ouch!
And she said, bitch. And I said, yes.
Wait a minute, she said bitch?
She said bitch.
Are you sure it wasn't Mike and Drag?
No, it was not Mike and Drag. It was not Slipper. Oh, let me tell you about that piece of trash Slipper Mickey. Roxy, I said. Roxy, have you seen this new girl on the streets? Who, she says. I said, her name is Slipper Mickey. She goes, she sounds like a whore. I said, exactly. Yeah, she's charging for pesos. I said, I didn't know we had Kmart back in town.
Ouch. And on that note,
Big K,
we shall be right back.
We are?
Yes.
Oh. I thought this was the end.
No.
Oh.
We'll be right back.
A loser. If I bought a new hat, they'd cancel Easter. I used nail polish to cover the rust. I went to a taffy pull. The taffy won. I wore a see-through dress and nobody looked. I can't get no. No, no, no. Hey, hey, hey.
Alright guys, we are back and we are joined by Mike.
Hey Mike.
And we're triplets.
We're triplets.
You couldn't tell us apart if you wanted.
Because no. We are done up in our Manos, the Hands of Fate, our Restoration Team.
Manos Regalia.
We're in our Restoration Team t-shirts because we just got to finish watching Riff Tracks Live, Manos, the Hands of Fate. Which was awesome. Absolutely awesome.
Oh my God.
I am glad that they were able to pull off a new riff.
That's probably the best comedy of the summer.
Probably so.
God, that was just, they were awesome.
I hate to say it, but the jokes were better than the original MST3K
one. Yes, it was.
I mean, the MST3K is good,
but they really came up with some good ones.
I haven't even seen the original one all the way through.
It's good.
Because you showed me the original first of the riff tracks.
They came up with some good ones on this one.
They ripped Texas a new one.
Yes,
El Paso has a coming.
Deservedly so.
Yes. Well, I love the jokes about Rick Perry.
Yep.
Yes.
The Rick Perry jokes were awesome.
I think, honestly, the small screen cannot convey how awkward this movie is until it's on a huge
screen.
You're like, this is even more awkward than I thought.
What's really awesome, they used the 16mm print that they discovered 2 years ago.
That they're restoring.
That they're doing the restoration of, that we got the t-shirts for.
So you see even more details than you did on the MST3K episode.
And more scenes that were cut out.
Like, you never noticed that when Torgo's hand is burned off that there's blood dripping out from the bottom of it. I know that was the first for me, and I went, oh my god, this has gore in it.
I didn't realize that she was making out with the back of the dad's neck
until now.
The scene's so dark on the DVD.
Oh, really?
Well, the DVD is so
you've seen
dark.
It so many more times than I can know.
We realized that Torgo was basically almost out of his shirt. We never noticed that. We thought it was dirt in.
No, that's his furry chest.
That's just his
chest.
He's a bear.
Torgo's a bear.
But, and
cub.
Then the stuff.
Yeah, he's a cub. Come on, he's a cub. He's still cute.
And then the stuff that happened before the film, the shorts that they found.
Oh, my God.
Norman.
Welcome back, Norman.
I'm convinced that's probably nominated for some Academy Award for short film, I bet.
I am
we
hoping
could probably
that is
figure
the,
that out.
I'm hoping that's the free short that they're giving us for the digital goodies. Because
it was so bad.
I hope it's not that stupid song at the end when they redid that song that the other Torgo was
singing. We'll get to that in a minute because there was a surprise revealed in that.
Yeah.
But let's talk about Norman.
Norman. Welcome back, Norman.
God, that guy should just kill himself.
I wanted to kill myself. That was the most pointless short film I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, what the hell is the
What's
point?
What's the point of that
Your life
thing?
Sucks, Norman. Go put yourself your head in an oven.
This is
and
the
be
worst afternoon
it.
Of your life. Yes, we've all lived through it. Why do I want to watch it?
Yeah, I had that today. Why do I want to watch it again?
And then they did Cylinders at Your Fingertips. Cylinders.
The sequels to Grass.
The sequels to Grass.
The sequels to Boxes.
Cylinders. The part that killed me was when she made the the constellations.
Oh. Yes.
And they said this could
be a planetarium.
Really?
Is it?
It's one of those, like, what the fuck moments. Like, what were they thinking?
I made something for you.
Or when she made the penis horse.
The penis horse was great.
So I'm like, what the hell is that? God. Don't tell me the people filming this weren't thinking that in the back of their mind.
Awesome.
And then, of course, there's the prune juice commercial.
The prune juice commercial.
The worst commercial of all
time. Oh, that was uncomfortable.
Oh, my God. Mm.
Drink that delicious juice
and
in the bowl.
And you can have a second glass that quickly.
I'm sorry. I've never eaten prunes, but I've seen people who eat a bowl of prunes. I don't know why they would, but they do. I've never seen prune
juice. It helps you poop.
I've never seen prune juice at the bottom of a prune bowl.
Me neither.
That just sounds nasty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That just sounds extremely nasty.
Yeah.
No. It was,
no.
Yeah, gross.
No. Gross. They drink 2 glasses of prune juice. Mmm! And the guys are making fart noises after it. That's awesome.
I loved that during the closing credits, the scene where Torgo's trying to get up after the master wakes him up, that they timed it to show how long it takes.
It takes him
for
full
him to get
half
up.
Minute
God,
to get
sat,
up.
It felt like three. Like 3 minutes.
Half the movie is either them falling down or getting back up.
Yeah, it's a drinking. There's a drinking game of them falling down. It really is.
God, get drunk soon.
Yeah,
and you can really see the panties and the bras this time around.
And they're like the red hanging down from their vaginas.
Yeah.
Awesomeness.
It's like wow, subtle guys, subtle.
I will admit though, some of the jokes from MST3K were in my head on some of the scenes. But then all of a sudden they were canceled out by the new jokes. And
the good thing is both riffs work very well.
Oh yeah.
So yeah.
I can't wait for this one to come out for sale. I'm definitely going to buy this one when it comes out on DVD.
Yeah.
But now the big surprise that they revealed is that it is official. There is a sequel coming out.
Manos, the Search for Valley Lodge.
And they had some of the cast there, and they even showed scenes for the sequel. And they've got original cast members back.
Three, I'm guessing.
Yeah, they got the sheriff back. They got the guy who played Manos back, the Masters.
It's Sheriff,
It's the master.
Mm-hmm.
Debbie. It's Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
It's the guy who played the makeout boyfriend in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one more that's coming back for it. There's Debbie, the sheriff.
There's not that many characters.
They're all alive, though. Debbie, the sheriff, master, the boyfriend. There's one more. I gotta find
it. So don't tell me the director died before we could see how popular is.
The director died in 1989.
Oh, yeah. Missed.
C3K version came out in 1991.
Yeah, so he never got a chance to see this.
And he found his fame after all.
It's a very Edgar Allan Poe thing. He found his fame in death.
Yeah.
Infamy, more like it.
So the cast that they had out, the cast members that they brought out playing the master and Torgo this time around, and then they show the original actor who played the master suddenly.
Yeah.
Is who's playing who? Is the master, is the old actor playing the master, or is this
I'm
new guy, or
I think
the thing they did tonight when they had the guy who played Torgo is Torgo.
Yeah.
But the guy who played the master in the studio version of it, or in the theater version of it, I think they just got somebody playing him.
I just hope they dirty up Torgo a little bit, because that was way too clean cut.
He's too clean, he's too muscular, he's too stocky.
Mm-hmm.
Torgo is supposed to be thin.
His hair's too well kept.
Yeah.
He's not grungy enough.
I mean, his beard, more like it. Yeah. He doesn't look dirty, he doesn't look like he sleeps on dirt.
And who's with the guy who looks like King Kong Bundy from WWF? I was like, what the hell? The really big, giant, rotund guy? Yeah.
This might work, but I think the magic of this film was that it's a discovered gem in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you recreate that?
Yeah.
When you know what you're trying to...
They tried doing that with Hobgoblins, and it failed. Hobgoblins 2 failed.
Sucks.
And now they're trying to do that with Birdemic 2. I mean, it's the same guy who did the first one who's doing the sequel, but, you know, you run into that situation.
I mean, it's like if you make The Room 2. I mean, you can't... The magic of, like, what's going on with their throat and all the other stuff. I mean, can you... If you're replicating that means it's intentional.
Yeah.
I mean,
you can't replicate this.
I mean, I guess Showgirls 2 is different because it's such a low-budget version of a big-budget movie.
Yes. Yeah, well, and what made Showgirls 2 different also was that they made it an intentional comedy.
But never going to have the same fame as Showgirls.
No.
It's not going to hit the mainstream.
Oh, no. It'll have a small built-in audience, but it won't be as big as Showgirls is. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Manos 2 when it comes out. But
it might be good, but I'm just kind of like, the magic of this is going to be really hard to replicate.
Mm-hmm. And it has been confirmed that nationwide, October 26th, Riff Tracks Live, Birdemic.
And we'll be there.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
We'll
be there. So there's no restoration this time around. But
no, because
we can donate to help them finish Birdemic 2.
Yeah, production on Birdemic 2 has stopped because they ran out of money.
Yep.
So now they need money to...
Where's your Kickstarter?
Exactly. And that probably will be doing
Where's my free
soon.
Shirt, damn it?
Yeah.
We are the envy of everyone because we have these awesome shirts.
Yes.
Chip and Marcos wants the shirt.
They were
pissed. This near sold out showing.
Okay, bullshit. I call bullshit on this. Got an alert that tickets are almost sold out. And I'm like, okay, I'm telling everybody in the Cult Film Fanatics Club, get your ticket now. It's selling out. We get in the theater, there was, 20 of us?
Well, by the end of it, it was half full. But only half.
Yeah.
And it was still a small theater.
Yeah. So I would say about 30, 40 people.
I understand the one in Tennessee being sold out where they actually did the live broadcast from because they're really there.
Yeah. So yeah, I
maybe
bullshit.
If they only had one showing in Dallas, all the Burt, you know, the Manos
one,
people
in one theater.
But they had them in all sorts of theaters all over Dallas. So
it's just thinned out the crowd. I mean, the reason the Inwood sells out sometimes is because there's only one place showing it.
Yeah. So,
not because they have three showings everywhere.
So I call BS on Fathom Events for that one.
I'm just very glad they're doing The Bride of Frankenstein and Frankenstein back to back.
Yeah.
Two of my favorite movies of all time.
I'm glad we have theaters now that are embracing old classic movies.
And alternative programs.
If I could see every Universal Monster movies on the big screen the next few years, I would just be so happy.
Yeah. And Hitchcock.
Wolfman.
I've seen 4 Hitchcocks now.
I need to... The Birds has to be the one I go to. Which 4 have you seen?
I've seen North by Northwest,
Rear Window,
Psycho, Rear Window, and Rope. I saw Rope on the big screen.
Well, I will be there for the Birds.
And I'll be there for the Birds.
I smell pot all of a sudden.
Well, it is Tippi Hedren. Tippi Hedren.
In fact, they even announced that Tippi Hedren is hosting, along with Osborne, the bird screening that they're doing. So it's gonna be, she's gonna be giving like little trivia and stuff like that.
And I can lust after that man in the big screen finally.
Well, the film's finally coming.
I've always had a crush on him. I'm sorry. Ever since I was a little boy. Me and my mom would watch
You know what's really Steiger?
Yeah, me and my mom were watching. She was like, he's
Rod
so...
Steiger.
And what's his name?
Rod something or other. Rod with the eyes.
Rod Taylor?
Rod Taylor. The guy that was in the Time Machine.
Yeah, Rod Taylor.
He looks... You know what? I hate to say it, though. He looks a lot like Robin Williams back from the 80s.
Don't be putting that idea in my head.
If you look at him side by side, they have...
Now look at Rod Taylor and imagine him going, what a concept!
Stop. You're not going to be able to ruin it
for a while.
You will not be able to ruin it.
Oh, and we have a new catchphrase. Norman's catchphrase.
Poor Norman. Just put your head in an oven, Norman. Be done with it.
I really can't wait for the birds. I can't wait for Birdemic. I think that's going to be hilarious.
Yes.
Oh, how many times do they do the riff tracks on the big screen?
It
this
varies.
Is the fourth one, isn't it?
Well, this year it's the second one they've done this year.
What was the first one?
We missed it with Jack the Giant Killer.
Jack the Giant Killer. Oh, they did Santa Claus versus the Martians.
A few years ago. No, they didn't do Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
They did a Christmas one.
Yeah, it was a bunch of Christmas shorts.
Christmas shorts.
They did a bunch of Christmas shorts. They did Reefer Madness. They did House on Haunted Hill. They did this one, Manos. They also did, there was another one that they did.
We missed
Plan 9 from Outer Space. They did Plan 9.
Six of them so far.
So, it'd be interesting.
So, we got to make a, this has got to be our tradition.
Yes.
Come see them on the
Well, here. Jack the Giant Killer was the only one we missed, and that was because I
had
to.
Christmas one, too.
We missed the Christmas one, but.
We didn't know about it.
Yeah, we didn't know about that one until too late. We knew about Jack the Giant Killer, but we couldn't make it because I had to work overtime that night.
Yay. I really can't wait for more. Obama's 2016 Obama's America. It's rated PG. Why do I have a feeling that's some sort of right-wing fanatical...
No, I think it's a documentary about him and what he's done on his side.
Okay, it's not some like...
I think it's pro-Obama.
Okay. Well, there's only one way to find out, and that's to look
I'm not going
to
go...
If it's not, if it's anti-Obama, I don't give money to it.
I loved the fake trivia facts that they were giving at the beginning.
Oh, those were extremely funny.
How much was your tub?
To start out with, it was like $6, and you fill it out for $3. I can give you this. I have so much of it. I can come. At least, look, this is a big drink. Yeah, that's very interesting, isn't it, listeners? I'm talking about.
Yeah, you're describing the size of something. Yeah,
it's huge.
I like the size of your tub.
I can give you...
It's a cylinder.
Let me
start. It all comes full circle.
Your life is complete now. You have
We got two cylinders.
It all comes full circle.
Yes.
Actually, this does come full circle, because when we met you, one of the first things that we did was we threw Manos at you.
Yes. Is that your way to see if I was really a true friend?
Yeah.
If he survives this night, then
the
we know.
We have it forever.
If he can survive a triple showing of Manos the Room and Showgirls, then we got a real friend.
Showgirls is the showing by itself because it's so fucking long.
Yeah.
That was a mistake.
And didn't we see, I want to say we saw Manos at least at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
It was
It
was the last thing we saw.
I remember
saw.
It's like, why is this movie taking so long?
And we told you it's only an hour and 8 minutes.
An
and you're like, what?
There's no way. I'm like, that was not an hour and 8 minutes. That felt like 2 hours.
Yeah, it was
just
an hour and 8 minutes.
Just Torgo getting up off the dirt.
30 seconds.
Or we hope it's dirt.
It's the longest hour.
See,
of your
even
life.
in the MST3K version, we couldn't tell that he was laying on a bed of dirt. We just thought he was just laying in a corner.
I knew that, but I wasn't sure it was dirt or. I knew that he was lying on something. I know it was dirt.
It could have been dirt or a dirty pillow or something,
or
but no, it was
or
poop. And we saw the stains on the couch, or as they called it, the Torgo stained couch.
And this is not the high definition restored version either, so there's more to come.
More details to come.
Is that going to have any special audio tracks or anything?
I think with the money he got, he's able to get some of the original cast members to come back and do audio commentary, I think.
That would be awesome.
That would be really cool. And what I like, it's nice, is that the MST3K 2-pack that came out with last year has a documentary, Hotel Torgo, which is the guy who played the boyfriend, the roadster boyfriend, taking everybody on a video tour of where they filmed Manos, and then to a special screening of the Manos at a film study school in El Paso.
What, how to make a shitty movie?
Yes,
was that
pretty
the
much. Pretty much.
Anatomy of a shitty movie?
Pretty
I don't
much.
Know.
Pretty much. I don't know.
But shooting him causes him to come out of focus.
Mm-hmm.
So am I in this scene?
No, it's not my scene.
And they found another movie where they can use their classic joke line.
Line. Lady.
Slave lady.
So many awkward moments in that movie.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know if can they unearth something that can top this.
I don't know.
I mean, if you're looking at the true cult canon of worst movies, where do you start with who's the worst?
That's been the debate forever. Yeah. Those have been. Well, it's Plan 9. No, it's Manos. No, it's Troll 2.
It's The Room.
Yeah.
Pandemic.
Yeah.
And those are the five. Those are the five top movies.
Because,
of the worst ones.
The other cult movies that are bad, like Rocky Horror and.
Rocky Horror has become from being a bad movie to being a good movie now.
But it has too much production value. There's nothing wrong with a lot of it. There's like, this is so bad.
Like, Xanadu is considered a bad movie.
But there's too much production value behind
it. Showgirls is considered a bad movie.
Too much
but
money behind
exactly.
it.
So the criteria is kind
Mommy
of changed
Dearest.
A bit.
It's, it's a bad movie for a lot of reasons, but not because of the production value being so shitty.
Xanadu and Rocky Horror and Mommy Dearest and Showgirls have gone from being bad to campy.
Mm-hmm.
Campy's different. Campy is bad movies with a budget.
Mm-hmm. Movies that we hope.
Yeah.
There's some movies like, I hope this gets to that level. Yeah. To be remembered.
Apparently Battlefield Earth is now getting to that level also for
I
those
can't.
Who can actually stomach
can't.
It.
I don't believe it.
For those who can stomach it.
I just, you know, I was watching, speaking about Batman and Robin. I only saw like half, and I was like, why isn't this movie in the so bad it's good category? It's just shit.
It's shitty.
It's shit. There's nothing endearing about it. You know, you watch this, it's like there's something endearing about people trying so hard to make a movie and failing. And this is just a bunch of overpaid Hollywood actors cashing a paycheck.
Why can't someone figure that out with Taylor Swift albums?
Oh! I can't stand that bitch.
I know you can't. That's why I brought it up.
So, I'm just going to come out and say it. I heard her new fucking song on the radio. Not country, by the way, so stop telling me she's a fucking country artist.
No, she's pop.
Because that's about as pop as you can get. Yeah. And she's writing another breakup song.
Yeah.
That's another one.
That's original.
And one of my friends said, at this point, you had to realize all her failed relationships are her fault.
Yes. You know what, Taylor Swift, stop it, bitch. You're not Adele. There you go.
That's what she gets for having...
I think I realized...
I think I know the reason why she keeps breaking up with people.
To have more material.
Yeah.
No, not only that, but I think her vagina is Cthulhu.
I think a lot of girls want to relate to her, quote unquote, because they want to live the life of dating all the Hollywood movie stars, and she's not so uber pretty that they can't believe that they would ever look like her.
I just want her to stop with that, oh my god, I'm shocked look every time she wins.
I hear if you go to her concert, it's all like, are you all here for me? For me? Because, you know, I just haven't had the top-selling concert for the past 3 fucking years. I can't believe all you guys came out for me.
Oh, I love fake humility.
Yeah, it's very fake humility.
Yeah. It makes
her look like a sweet old girl next door.
Country girl.
When in reality, she's chicken bones.
And she's got a fucking victim complex.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm glad Kanye did that to her.
The night he did that, I applauded.
Mm-hmm.
I was the only one on Facebook. Yes. Someone's finally ripping Taylor Swift.
I was
blasted for that.
I got blasted because I was like, someone said, I always thought she was a bitch.
Yeah.
How could you say that to a child? Like, he's a millionaire.
Easily.
I don't think she really cares.
I crush children's dreams constantly.
And that's more like, I just don't really think she cares what I think.
I like how it was a double standard that we couldn't say that about Taylor Swift, but we could for Dakota Fanning.
Exactly.
So.
When has she been a bitch?
Since War of the Worlds.
Oh, I didn't know.
Since birth.
Yeah, since birth. I was reading Dostoevsky.
Yeah, do you spell it? No, you can't. Shut up.
Chayefsky?
Yes.
Put a cha? Like Tchaikovsky?
Yeah. So, what are you doing for summer reading? This, literally, when she was 8 years old, they asked her...
I'm reading The Glass Menagerie.
No, she said War and Peace.
Oh,
at 8 years
bitch,
old.
Please.
I'm like, fuck you.
No. Genius who's having to read adult books.
You're reading Fun with Dick and Jane, or you're reading Curious George. Let's be serious here.
Oh, God.
You were in Charlotte's Web, and really wasn't that good a movie.
I will have to say, speaking of books, one of my favorite jokes of the night was when the women are fighting, and they said, this is what happens when someone at a book club says that they did not like Fifty Shades of Grey.
That was one of the best ones. I love it. There's a lot of just laugh out loud going through the whole audience. I'm like, oh.
And I love when on the pre-show reel when they had the one about the plot point about Die Hard 5, that at one point Bruce Willis has to go to Comic-Con wearing a sign that says, I think I think Firefly is overrated.
It's kind of overrated.
It's kind of overrated.
Yeah. I like the one about, they're just like you. Mark Ruffalo has two lungs and breathes oxygen. Yes.
Just like you.
A Transformers quote. No,
no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no. Transformers 3. I like when he did theme music. Inception.
Yeah.
But nothing in the background.
Wham! 57,000 times. Inception.
God. Right. Well, we need to go before they spray us.
Before
they,
yeah, we're having. We have a mosquito epidemic.
The West Nile.
With the West Nile.
We want to make sure we don't get the West Nile.
Oh, we don't want the scurvy.
We don't want the scurvy and the West Nile, and we don't want the STDs. Wow.
Oh, okay.
There you have it, folks.
Yay.
All right, everyone. Talk to y'all later.
Bye.
Bye.